Welcome to Rock That Relationship, a podcast about all things relationship with Corey and Tracy.
Now let's get real and start creating relationships that rock.
Welcome, everyone, to Rock That Relationship. We are here with an episode all about understanding past life connections. This is a really fun one. I'm really excited about who our guest is today. It's Jenny Capella, who is a crisis and life transitions coach. But the cool part about it is that Jenny and I just met the other night. We were in an online metaphysical fair, and I was rotating around to different rooms, and there were like 18 different rooms you could go to on Zoom. And I only had time to go to like four or five of them. And I just felt like I needed to go to Jenny's room for whatever reason. And we had a really amazing conversation. And so I'm just so thrilled to have you on the show. So welcome, Jenny.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Excellent. Well, maybe you could start by telling us a little bit about what you do kind of in this metaphysical world. Like, what brought you to that event? And then how did you get into doing this work?
Yeah. So first of all, I do, as you said, life transitions and crisis coaching. And I really started this as a child. I don't know what it was, but, you know, we're all born with certain kinds of talents and gifts. And I remember a time when I was 13 years old and my family was going through a crisis. And I had read this book called Parent Effectiveness Training. Keep in mind, it was for parents, not for kids. But I loved it. And it was all about teaching your kids how to take responsibility for their feelings, like, I feel this rather than blaming, et cetera. So a dear friend of mine, a neighbor, said, Jenny, your family's going through this crisis. Just use that book on them. So I went home, and I literally, at 13 years old, had everybody gather around the table, and I moderated this session and got us through this crisis. And it was very natural to me. It didn't feel foreign at all. It was just something in me. And then when I was 17, the local mental health clinic called me and asked if I would be on the crisis line. And this was an adult level crisis line. I was a senior.
Wow.
Yeah. And I was terrified for the first time that I did it. But then once I started seeing the flow of it, I literally was dealing with adults going through major crises. And again, something inborn in me, and as all of your listeners have, we all have these gifts, these talents that are innate in us. And I just started seeing them at a very young age. I come from a business background where I was basically in the closet with my spirituality, to be honest with you. And it's always been a huge part of my life, but I've led with the left brain and didn't express that part of myself as much publicly. But now I am out and I'm doing this work, and my company's called Miracles with Jenny. So that's kind of how I got here where I'm at today.
Wow, that's awesome. That it's so interesting. So why do you, I'm going to go off the Corey's list now, but
of course,
like,
we've been here 30 seconds, Tracy, and you're already
going off the list. Well, because she brought up something so interesting.
I know.
Why is it such an issue for people with the spirituality stuff? Do you think that, like, you had to not be like so, open about it?
Part of it was my own upbringing. I was brought up in a Christian church. My dad was a minister till I was 7 years old, and he actually was a very, anti-war, peace-loving guy. He was not a very strong, staunch Christian, but still, it was in my background. And then also, just over the years, I would run into people, and I just thought, you know, this is too weird. You know, I didn't want them to see me in a certain light and judge me, and it was my own self-esteem issues, absolutely 100%. And so I've grown enough as a person in my own self-love and self-care that now it's time. Plus, in addition to that growth I've done, it's time universally, time for my soul. So both of those go hand in hand.
That, I love that. I feel that way, except that I didn't know. Like, that, I mean, when I was a kid, I had all these feelings about past lives, about, oh, why wasn't I in Paris, even though I grew up in a cornfield in Illinois and shouldn't have known anything about that. I had this real serious connection to Russia, all these feelings. And then, you know, I kind of went on with my life, went to high school, college, and I kind of forgot about that stuff. And a lot of that didn't come out until later in life. And now I'm just like, I think it gives me a peace to know, like, I felt that way as a kid. And like, now getting into this stuff and seeing the stuff that you're doing and all that, it's like, you know, people get, oh my gosh, that's so weird. And I'm like, it's not weird, because it gives you an understanding not only of what we're doing here, but like the bigger picture, you know?
Yeah, that's right.
So how did you find the intersection between kind of this crisis counseling from, I would imagine, the parent effectiveness training book, which we'll link to in the show notes, is probably more kind of secular. And then this idea of kind of this more spiritual element of what you do. Like, when did the spirituality piece come into it?
Same time range, 13, 14, 15 years old. It was all this neighbor who was introducing me to all of these things. But it was always in me, and it just kind of grew from there. You know, and then in terms of the intersection, I cannot work with people on this level of the depth that I work with unless I'm considering their whole self. So the spirit, mm-hmm. the soul, the mental, emotional, you know, physical, all of that. So it, to me, it's just a natural combination.
Yeah, that makes sense. Wow. Well, I know we were talking about this season, we're looking at what past lives are, right? And like looking at past life connections, and Tracy and I are exploring kind of our past lives together. But really, we want to talk to you about kind of helping us kind of break down for our listeners and for us too. Like, can you tell us your thoughts on like what past lives are? What are soul connections? What are soulmates? Like, what is some of this vernacular that people use, and what does it really mean kind of in a spiritual sense?
Well, first of all, there's a lot of people who have a lot of different connotations to some of this, so it can be very confusing. So I'm just going to give some basic ideas, and then I strongly encourage your listeners to go out and do some research. And you can do it on YouTube. You can do it with an AI tool. There's so many ways you can go visit readers and, you know, learn their philosophy. But just in general, my experience of past lives and how I understand them is that there's two parts. There's a linear way that you can look at them chronologically. So you could say, I'm in this earth life now and in my past in another place, another time, another country, whatever that might be. I had this life or many lives, if you will. And then in the future, I will have other lives is another way to look at it too. But honestly, the more and more I go forward, the more that I see that things are happening simultaneously. And so that part for me of breaking down that mental construct of it's a chronological, you know, thing, which many people think that it is. And I'm not saying it's not, because there's that element too, because we're here on the earth rooted in that. But there's also this other dimension of it, an aspect. So when I say it's simultaneous, right this minute, there are past lives happening for me, and I say past lives with quote marks, other lives that I'm going through that are impacting this life. And so it's so helpful that I finally came to this understanding for myself, because it explains to me some of the fears I've had that don't make any sense in this lifetime, but I have them so strongly now. And no matter what I've done, healing and books and therapy and all that, you know, they're still sometimes really quite prominent. So you could say, from the chronological viewpoint of past in the past and now in the future, you know, it's still those things absolutely do affect you. But it just seems more realistic on a different level to look at them as happening simultaneously. So would you like me to go on to keep talking about soul connections and all, or should I stop?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay. Absolutely. You're on a roll, Jenny. I'm loving that stuff.
All right. So soul connections, it's really simple to think about. A connection is an energy between people, or like a bridge. So if you can imagine two people and there's this energy bridge between them. Now, the interesting thing about it is some connections, as we all know, and I'm sure your listeners know too, are very difficult. And the minute you meet someone, you're like, oh my gosh, this doesn't feel good. I don't know why it doesn't feel good. And then sometimes later those turn out fine and you just had an instant, you know, human level judgment of them for whatever reason. But, you know, a lot of the times, especially if it's an intuition telling you there's something going on there, other connections are like, don't I know you? I feel like I know you. Other ones are like home. Like my best friend, she's like home for me, and I can be around her. We can talk. Not see each other for a while, see each other for a while. And then there's other kinds of connections as well, like karmic connections, where the concept of karma, which is cause and effect, and if you believe in that. And those kind of connections are very interesting. They are usually often very magnetic. And like there might be a real high to them, like, oh, I'm in love with this person, or, you know, you just feel ecstatic and your hormones and everything kicks in the positive ones and you feel great. And then you come to find out that not too far into it, the connection starts getting erratic. You know, that beautiful energy starts feeling funny, because those people come into our lives to help us gain wisdom and help us develop virtues, patience, kindness, those kind of things. And they also sometimes are people that maybe we did something to them and it just left the whole thing off balance, or they did something to us. It's unfinished business. So we need, in those kind of soul connections, we need to learn and understand what it was so that we can just heal it and release it. And then soul, did you have another one? I'm sorry, you said soul connections.
Past. She said soulmates.
Soulmates. Okay, so soulmates is another interesting topic, and there's so many different ways that people think about this. So my personal experience and belief is many types of people can be a soulmate. You know, you could have a friend that's a soulmate, a best friend. You could have a coworker. I had one once, a coworker. She was 30 years younger than me. I swear she felt just like my daughter, and we sobbed and sobbed when we left each other. She moved, and it was exquisite. I can't explain it. There was no way to explain it except that there must have been something there. So it can be business associates, like I mentioned. It can also be people that you meet briefly, like a teacher who comes into your life, and you really, a mentor, and they're there for a very specific season, a very specific purpose to help you work through something, could be anything, or learn something. And so family, romantic partners, et cetera. So there's a lot of different ways that a soulmate can play out and different flavors to it. The way, one helpful way that it might be of assistance for people to look at this is, I like to think of it like I'm in the center. Imagine yourself in the center of a beautiful gemstone. It doesn't matter if it's a peridot, an emerald, a ruby, but you're in the center of this. And all around you are these facets, these cut facets. And every facet represents some relationship that you've got. And you're in the center as this light, beautiful soul, light being. And so what happens is, this light from these other sources come in, through the facets, and they impact us. And sometimes we have what Edward Mannix, I'll talk about him later, Edward Mannix calls soul imprints and soul distortions. So sometimes when we have connections with people that just didn't go well or whatever, or we did something, it just kind of stacks up like, you know, clay around us, and we can't feel and know our light. We'll attract people that will play out a role for us based on the distortion in our mind of what we think about ourselves, what we think of them. And so there's ways to work with that, but it's really interesting how those connections can be, you know, so many ways. And the last thing I'll say before I hear from you about where you might want to go next in this conversation is, I really like to look at the concept of soulmates in a light way. So what I mean by that is, when I'm working with people and they come to me for a session and they might say, I just know this person's my soulmate, I think it's actually useful to have some language around it. I also think, though, that in addition to that, it's important to know that if we can strip away the label, I like to ask people, well, how do you feel with this person? Whether they're karmic, you know, you're meant to be romantically, whatever it is, how do you feel? What do you think about? Do you feel superior to them, inferior, like all those kind of things? Because sometimes a label can keep us stuck. Like, let's just say, for example, in my past, I swore somebody was my, quote, soulmate, like my romantic partner. We were going to have a long-term soul, you know, relationship. But, you know, it turns out that that wasn't the case. And so once I was able to kind of strip that away and understand this is somebody I knew before, and they may have been a soulmate, they may still be, but the form of the relationship isn't going to be what this box says it should be. So those are some of my thoughts on that.
Wow. Tracy, you look like you're thinking and pondering and taking this all in.
Well, I take everything in that I hear. I have a lot to say because, I mean, we've talked before many times just between me and Corey and then on the podcast about like our different connections to people. And I think that if you don't study this stuff, like it doesn't make sense. But then when you see, okay, why did I have this crazy situation with this person, or how is it that, you know, you meet someone and you do feel so connected to them? And like, I do think now it explains a lot of the weirdness in the world where it's like, why is that person upset? Like, I think I'm going to get dark about murder and stuff, but like, why is this person so obsessed with this other person? Like, is that really like, of this, you know, like there are people that just cannot let go. And I've often wondered, is that like some past life stuff playing out, you know?
Right. It can be. It can also be something that happened to them in this life, for example, you know, just chemically around them in their environment. But also there's a whole other level of beings, if you will, that are not embodied, in my experience, that are more like entities that are not for our best good. And I've had way too much experience dealing with those. But they oftentimes will come in, and I have a family member that I had to separate from because she is literally, she, for whatever reason, has one of these in her that is running the show for her. And so they can actually make you go and murder somebody. They can make you rob a bank. They can make you yell at somebody. And the soul, the real soul in that person is diminished or kind of hiding out, if it's even still in that person's body, directly in the body. So that's something else that can potentially cause that.
Well, I'm a Buddhist. I mean, I do follow Buddhist teachings, I guess I should say. And so, like, you know, they're big into reincarnation and karma. And I've heard karma described as, you know, it's not meant for punishment the way that many people in the West think it is, right? But that it's for learning. And it's like helps us to, I guess, progress, you know, each time. But, like, I've forgotten what I was going to say. Something about like this whole thought, this, that we're all one, that we're all like just kind of moving around in different pieces at different times and kind of resolving these energies. Like, I don't know if you're like, can we get off this merry-go-round? Because I kind of wanted to get out of here. Like, I'm over it. This is like so crazy to me to be here. Like, you know?
Yeah. Yes. And many, 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 many people feel that same way. So I'll tell you what my feeling is about it, is that the answer is yes. And I have a way that is my philosophy and what I'm doing in my life that is not necessarily in agreement with or aligned with a lot of what other people feel. And neither my opinion or their experiences is, you know, good or bad. It's just different people have different experiences. So, you know, for many, many, many years ago, there was a woman I went to for a reading, and she channeled a being. I don't even remember the name of the being, but this being looked at me and said, "You must transcend the embodiment." And I looked at that being. I'm like, why would I transcend my body? Like, what's up with that? What is this whole concept of in order to be enlightened, we can't have a body and the ego's bad and all of that?
Right.
And just something in me viscerally didn't resonate with me. So then fast forward over the years, people have said to me, "Wow, Jenny, look at you. You're ascending. You're this and this." And I just was always baffled. And I would say to people, "I don't feel like I'm ascending. I feel like I'm descending, not in a negative way. I'm coming into my body because I had to pop out at a very, very young age because of the particular childhood that I had. It was not safe to be in this body. So I was, you know, I mean, I was obviously here. I functioned, et cetera, but part of me was not. In fact, many child cells were not. So for me, the integration into the physical body and the joy of bringing the stereotypical comment of heaven on earth, not, you don't even have to, the Christian version of that if you don't feel like you resonate with it, but just that sense of joy here of being in the body. The more I spend time, for example, in nature, there's times where I just feel ecstatic, no matter what's going on in my life. And that's me, this earth body, getting grounded. And I believe that I will rise in my spirituality and rise in my presence and rise in my expression of my light as I do that. Now, that's me. There's other people that do not agree with that. They feel like, you know, we got to get out of the body. We got to transcend it, and then we'll be able to ascend or be enlightened.
Well, okay, it's interesting because people have told me and Corey that we're jumpers. We come back and forth. Like Corey and I have had many lifetimes together where we're and we agreed for this lifetime to learn lessons together. And it seems that we have been living parallel lives for like 4 years, but we didn't meet each other until we were older. And then all of this has really like helped me to move to what I think is the next level. And so I do believe that I'm with my soulmate. I believe I've just married my soulmate. She feels the same way.
It's
and
not
now
me.
I just,
it's just so like we're fair. It's not me.
Oh my God. Yeah.
No,
it's not her. And I want off. So I texted Corey the other day and said, "I don't want to keep coming back here. Like we can hang out somewhere else, but I want to be with this other person forever. And I don't want to come back here and keep like, we keep coming back and it just seems that it's like, yes, I love like right now this lifetime of the physical body and all that, but I don't want to have to come back and then wait 50 years again to meet my person, you know, like, I don't know if there's a way to stop that or like, does some knowing of this past life stuff kind of torment us? I mean, you know what I mean? In a wake, do you find it totally liberating, or could it be also torturous to know this stuff?
It depends on how the person views the concept of past lives, if they're afraid of that concept or if they have a heavy feeling about it. Today literally is the last day of a class I've been in for 3 months, and it's called Compassion Keys. And I just got certified to be a Compassion Keys facilitator. And basically, the reason I'm bringing this up is because there is a process and a technique that you learn about directing compassion to yourself in these sessions, whatever comes up, whether it's past lives, wounded child parts, whatever it is. And when we do that, we finally face and be gentle and kind to those parts. It releases us from the magnetic attraction to this earth plane of coming back and back. Because what's happening is we don't know how to release those, right? Mm-hmm. And even if we go to, and sometimes we can. There's many people out there that are very skilled at like past life hypnotherapy and all those things, and it really helps. But this class I just took is right. It's at the root level. And at that deepest, deepest level. And so a lot of the things that are out there where we get frustrated, like, oh, I don't want to come back. Why am I still carrying all this? We can clear out a lot with a lot of tools. What I'm finding is I'm very grateful that I found this particular technique, because this one is like rooting something out. And so, I mean, but that's just my experience. You know, other people have different opinions about it. And then there's a whole concept of that we're living in a matrix, and, you know, we're all of those things. And so I feel that if that's in fact the case, all the more reason to focus self-love and to heal. Because the more that we do that, it just brings light from the inside out. That matrix, dome, whatever you want to call it, assuming it exists, cannot stand in that direct high vibe light. It just can't. Mm-hmm. It's architected in a way that's much lower vibrational.
Mm. Wow. Wow. This is fascinating. Well, let me ask you like a real practical question. As you told the story about how like you had a coworker that you just felt like was a soulmate to you, and you've had other people in your life. Like, I know sometimes when I run into people, like I know I'm like, usually the sense I get is you feel familiar. That's the one that resonates the most with me, is I feel like deja vu. We've been here before. I know you, home, you know, like that sense of like, this isn't our first rodeo together. Mm-hmm. But like for our listeners who aren't as in tune to picking up on maybe some of those things, what kinds of things have you experienced, or have people you've worked with experienced, where, you know, they've said, yeah, I felt like this person was soul connected to me? What are some of those things? Like if one of our listeners was sort of meandering around the world as they are, they might be like, huh, I never thought about that. But yes, I think that might be a soul connection.
Yeah. So sometimes it's as simple as a bunch of quote coincidences where, you know, like this woman who's my best friend that I told you about, it's just incredible, because I moved from living in a whole other state when I was very young at 8 years old, and I moved to the same town. But not only did I move to the same town, I moved to the house that her father built that she lived in and moved out of a year before I got there. Okay.
Mm-hmm,
and this
weird.
Was 7, 8 years old. And so then we met in junior high and et cetera. But there's this, as you described, Tracy, this kind of parallel going on where we hadn't even met yet. Mm-hmm. But some of the things, reactions, feelings that you can get, sometimes it's just a very subtle knowing. Sometimes there's a sense of a strong attraction, like, oh my gosh, this person just appeals to me so much. And if it's romantic, it could be that chemistry, and you feel like, wow, and you get a high from it. Other times it feels like home. Other times it's just this really calm sense of, I knew them. Other times people get visions. They have flashes like, oh, whoa, I see that we were in this life, and or not. It certainly wasn't here. Where did that come from? So I think it's very individual, and it's very specific to each relationship in terms of what somebody might feel in terms of the connection.
That makes sense. I had one experience with someone where I felt from just looking at her picture, I was like, I feel like I know her from somewhere. Mm-hmm. And then we met, and it was like, I've been here before. We've done this before. And then I went to her house. I'd never been to her house before. I sat on the couch, and her dogs jumped up on my lap, which apparently they don't do very frequently with other people. And I'm not really a dog person. And I was like, I know these dogs. I know this house, and I know this person. And it was a weird feeling. I've never had a feeling so strong like that, where it hit me from a bunch of different levels. And it felt, just everything felt really, really familiar. But it was almost the other things around it too, like the dogs, right? Or the space, something, everything about it felt familiar.
I love that you said that instantly. So I'm really grateful, because instantly it brought to mind stories I've heard, and you may have heard of them too, and your listeners may have heard these stories of these small kids, and they're like, you know, I have another mom, mommy.
And
I live right next to an ocean, and it's not really nearby, you know, and then they describe, and, you know, I've seen picture or shows on this where they actually go and visit and they find where that kid was from. And the kid's like, yeah, this is where my mom was or whatever. So, you know, that's another way that people can feel, not necessarily even knowing a person, but having these visions of I came from somewhere else also before this life or whenever. Yeah.
Yeah, there was that great story that came out about that kid who kept insisting that he was, I can't remember what it was, but he was some kind of relatively famous guy back in maybe the 40s. Mm. And I don't know if you heard this one. I don't even remember who he was, but he kept saying, no, this is who I am. I was an actor and I did this and I was in these movies. And everyone's like, we don't know who this is. Finally came about, he pointed himself out in a picture and they looked him up and it said it was born in, I don't know what it was, like 1921 or 1931 or something. And he's like, no, I was born in 1930. And they're like, no, all the records say this. And then someone looked it up and did more investigating and found out that the kid was right, that he was born actually in that year. So, I mean, like some of those things where it's like that knowing is just so strong, right? You know who you were. See, I haven't had an experience where I've known who I might have been so much in a past life. And so I've been told a couple examples, but when I feel it just generally, I just feel like somebody is familiar, but I don't know the context. I mean, Tracy and I have gone through a bunch of things where we've been told a few of the contexts, one in which I was a parent and she was my child and it was World War II and she had, died and I died of a broken heart shortly thereafter.
Died? I was shot.
Well, and I died of a broken heart. We've also had one where we were a lesbian couple at the turn of the century living in Paris, France, which we both resonate with. Yeah. And we've had all sorts of things.
Yeah, but let me tell about the one that with the World War II thing, because then we met somebody like totally randomly Corey met her online. And then we met her together and I just had an instant feeling of like, I have to get this person away from Corey. And I did weird things. I went behind Corey's back, stuff I would never do. And was like, hey, Corey doesn't like to communicate by a messenger. She doesn't hike early. Let's go. And then, it became a huge thing where almost like it was a big fight between us and it got crazy. And Corey's like, this person is going to get you killed. And you're going doing these crazy things with her. And it was like, really weird because I was like, well, I feel like I need to keep her away from you. And then Corey was freaking out that this person was going to get me killed. And then
they were doing all these really like dangerous hikes at like all times of the night. And like,
oh, wow.
And it was, I was like, I don't know what's happening.
Driving, like after hiking 37 miles and then driving home, like crazy
stuff. But But I was also upset. I'm like, why are you, this was my friend first. Like, why are you blocking me from my own friend? And she'd never done this before. So it was very weird.
No, I don't
character.
Act like that. Yes, I would never be like that. But what it was, like, I was out hiking with that person one day and I turned around and I said, you killed me. You shot me and I forgive you and I release you from all that. That just came out of my mouth. Like, I did not plan that. And most people, you know, when I've told them the story, they're like laughing so hard, they're like falling off their chair. She got goosebumps. She almost vomited. Like, and ever since we did that, her life has been so much better. And all the energy between us dissipated. Like, there's never been weirdness between us ever again.
That is fantastic. Beautiful. Yeah. Beautiful.
And I wouldn't have understood that probably like before we had all this knowing, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we could have still had that dynamic and run into that person, but I think understanding it, that's why I think so many of these weird things that happen between people in this lifetime, we look at it and we're like, that person's crazy or they're this or that, but it's something that has to play out, you know?
Right. Makes total sense. I love that story.
I know. Well, that proved to me that like, I did not plan to say that, you know, and it just came out of my mouth and like, it's very interesting. And I think when I literally tell people, they literally are laughing and I'm like, you know, if you could develop this understanding that I have of the world, you know, it would actually make the world make so much more sense and not be so frightening to you. Mm-hmm. And I do find comfort in the fact that, okay, death isn't like an ending for us, right? And I think, I don't know if that in your grief counseling and all that stuff, you use that concept that like this isn't an ending for us.
You know, I am very individualistic in terms of who I'm working with. If it's somebody that is an atheist, for example, and there's no way I won't necessarily go there, I might say some things like and express it as my opinion, et cetera, just to kind of add to the conversation. And other people are like, and Jenny, I know they're still here. In fact, I feel them. I feel their presence and all, you know, and so that's a different kind of a conversation. But for me, you know, grief and loss is a profound feeling and it's very individual and it's not something that you can just rush through. And so it depends on the person is to be honest with you is how I would approach that.
Interesting.
Yeah. Well, do you have,
because people aren't that receptive. Oh, sorry.
Oh, go ahead. No, go ahead.
Because people just can't be receptive, especially during a time of grief, or it's not your job to go around educating people on what's going on in this world, like spiritually.
So it depends. So, you know, some people, like I mentioned, if they're an atheist, you know, for them, this is it. This fleshly existence, if you will, is it. And so that type of grief can sometimes be even harder because there's no purpose. There's no beyond, if you will. Mm-hmm. And then there's other people, like I mentioned, who come to me and they just say, I still see the person and everything. And in those cases, sometimes what I can do is that person, that presence, that spirit will come into the room and I can feel them, see them, talk to them. And I can presence, I don't want to say channel because I don't really channel them, but I bring them in and I can bring messages for the other person, kind of like a medium would do.
Right.
I've done that before. One woman that was a client of mine years ago, she came to me and she was so sad and still grief filled because her fiance had passed away in a car wreck. And she was in a relationship currently that was actually really good. And she had a kid and it was just, but she was hesitating going forward with this person because she was carrying this grief. So out of nowhere, I didn't believe me, I didn't call for this or ask, but out of nowhere, the fiance came into the room on a spiritual level and he had a message for her. And the message was about moving on and that he loved her and it was time to let go. And you know what? She got it. She, to her core, she took it in. And then after that, she was able to marry this man that she wanted to be with, but was feeling so stuck on before.
Wow.
It was profound. It really was. Yeah,
that is absolutely profound. So,
and to be able to help someone like that.
Yeah.
Oh. Like you change the course of her life, right? Instead of just misery, you know?
Yeah.
Well, and that goes to like the conversation. I know Tracy and I have this all the time is like, you know, you could tell someone logically something over and over and over, but until you get it on like a soul level, like that lesson has to sort of be learned or that message has to be received. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know how many conversations I have with Tracy where both of us, one of us will say, I've been telling you this for 2 years. And then it's like, well, I had to get that message a different way. Like you telling me on like a logical piece is not getting it. I need like some kind of a message or a feeling or something, or I need to just go through this experience because that's my path in order to get there. And so that was, you know, part of our conversation that we've been having.
Yeah, that makes sense. And that's really hard sometimes, especially if you're really connected to somebody and if you've had other lives with them and it's like, oh God, they always do this to me. Or, you know, here we go again for the 50th time. But, you know, it can be harder. And sometimes we just need another person to say it, a perspective. Something shifts inside of us. We grow. We change. We hear a podcast and someone says something. It's like, oh, that's what Tracy's been trying to say to me or whatever, you know.
Yeah, she does that to me all the time.
Or it just happens, and I said, I told you that this was going to happen, or I told you you should have done this. And then she has to learn the hard way.
I know, but I have to say, though, I'll say something like, oh, so-and-so said that I should do da-da-da, and she's like, I already told you that. You didn't need to ask them. I already told you. I'm like, yeah, but I'm not hearing it from you the same way. Or two people make a difference. But, but we have also a parent-child dynamic. And
yeah, but sometimes I'm the parent and sometimes she's the parent.
Yeah.
It does flip-flop.
It does. Tracy.
That happens.
I know. Mostly she's the parent, but I'm your teacher. Yeah. I'm on her spirit council. I'm like her guru and we've been told that by multiple people. Mm. And I'm like, I am your guru, so you should listen to me. But then she doesn't because she thinks she's my parent.
And I'm like, oh, just be quiet, little teenager. Just be quiet.
Exactly. She thinks of me as an unruly teen. Jenny, have you ever uncovered anything about your own past lives? Or
yes.
do you see other people's?
I have a couple of great examples. One of them happened years ago where I was in between female cycles, and I was having some light bleeding and never had it before. And it really concerned me. I went to the naturopath and, you know, I was working at it from that level, but it still was happening. And so I went to a person who's an amazing, she's still in business, I think, up in Seattle. Her name's Joyce Izumi, and it's the Institute for Transformational Movement. So I went to her, and turns out, you know, through my, what the theory of that is that when we can move our bodies in certain ways, it can unlock memories and past lives and all that sometimes, rather than just from the head or trying to psychically think about it, right? Because the body stores those memories from a lot of places. So anyway, was going through some movement. Finally, I was just laying on the floor, and I was terrified because I saw myself in another life as a woman running through the forest, just petrified and bleeding out, just bleeding out. And I was losing my baby. And so Joyce, she walked me through. She goes, Jenny, you have to let her die. You have to, you just got to let that self die. I was so scared. I'm like, I have to witness a part of me dying. That's just, but I did it. And you know what? The bleeding stopped like that. It was really profound.
Oh my goodness. How did that feel? I've actually did a past life regression where I watched myself die, and it was a very surreal experience. What was that like for you when you watched yourself die? Was it more liberating, or was it just explanatory, or like how did you feel?
It was more, I would say, ultimately it was liberating to my body. It was very uncomfortable to go through it because it felt like Jenny, this life was dying at the same time. So I'm like, well, how can I let her die and I won't die? You know, it was kind of confusing at the time.
Right.
But once I got through it, you know, the proof is in the pudding. My body stopped, within a flash, just stopped the bleeding that was going on.
Oh my goodness. That's.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, when I had it, when I was starting to drown, and I'm terrified of like water. I don't spend a lot of time in or on water. I'm trying to do more kayaking and stuff, and not just to kind of confront it, but I've never been a lover of water. And I had a past life regression, like a hypnotherapy. And I had, a situation where I was drowning, but the regression, she pulled me out. Encouraged my spirit to come out of the car as it was plummeting into the river so that I wouldn't like start having like the feelings of drowning. And so it was not like necessarily I felt myself die as much as I watched myself die.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I don't know if that was anything other than just help me understand.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if I would have felt it, if it would have been any different, but was it scary for you? I mean,
oh yeah, I was terrified. I was gripping. I did not want to watch her die or let her die. I really should say, cause it was really about letting, I mean, in that life, she obviously died eventually, maybe even in that moment, but I was the one that was keeping her animated. So for all I know, you know, I started off the show talking about that these things could be happening simultaneously. So that part of me that was in that life, concurrent with this life, that might have been part of my mission to that aspect of myself, was to let her go, let her die. And I might have been keeping her alive in torture and bleeding all this time, I know, without letting her go. That's one way to look at it. But it was terrifying.
I think Corey has some issue about snakes too, because she chooses to live in Arizona, and then she is so terrified when she sees snakes. And I'm like, hello, they're everywhere here.
I mean, terrified.
Terrified.
More than the average person who doesn't like snakes.
Yeah,
terrified. And I'm like, dude, you live in southern Arizona. Rattlesnake heaven.
They're everywhere. Yeah.
They're everywhere. Okay, I'm going to go back to the questions list, like a good person. Let's see. How can understanding past lives and past life connections help relationships in this life? Can they help us?
Absolutely. So it can give us a frame and a perspective to understand why maybe for example, there's some people like this woman I told you about that I just loved so much. It's like once I got a sense that she was my daughter in a past life, I'm like, well, no wonder I feel so protective of her. No wonder, because some of this stuff you wouldn't explain. It's like, it's a coworker, right? She's younger than me, but I worked with plenty of people that were a lot younger than me, and I had no maternal feelings about it. I loved them, but I didn't have a maternal sense like I did with this person. So right. It really helped give a frame for it, and it actually brought me a lot of joy because it's like, oh, I've known her before. That feels really good. Also, if you are in a situation where let's just say, so for example, years ago, I met a guy and I thought, wow, this feels like it might be somebody I'm going to be with long term. But he just completely begged out. And I finally got in touch with the deeper level, you know, the kind of past life stuff. And I realized that there was other things going on, and it helped me. I still was bummed, right? But it helped me to understand what was happening in our dynamic that wasn't on the surface. It didn't make sense on the surface. I felt this connection. I felt all of that. I thought it was going to be it, but it wasn't. So kind of for peace of mind, it can help you. It can also help you if you're feeling like you're really angry at somebody or inexplicably, you know, like you said, Tracy, about that one person that shot you from World War II or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, once you got into that feeling of I forgive you and you had that sense of that was from then, you know, it can be liberating. So, yeah, it absolutely can help. And sometimes it's not a big deal. Like sometimes I've met somebody, I'm like, oh yeah, I feel like we had a past life, but it's a point of interest. It's not like it's, wow, this is amazing. It liberated me. And other people and other times it's like, yeah, it really helps giving me a perspective.
Well, I'm just thinking about this now. So I've been obsessed with, you know, France, and I was as a kid, and then also with the Holocaust since I was like 11 until literally just now. It probably ended with that conversation. I'm just thinking in the last couple months, because it used to be that I would obsess about the Holocaust. I mean, every day, anything I could tie it to, you know, people would tell me they got coffee, and I'm like, well, Jewish people didn't get to get coffee in the Holocaust. Like, that's all that would like cycle through my head. Mm-hmm. And then that has diminished probably 90% since since I had that interaction with her. Mm. Which is, I'm just putting two and two together right now. Like, mm-hmm. I think that it freed me from that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
It's interesting.
And even if, you know, the conversation I'm having with you today where I'm saying that it is could be happening simultaneously, even if that's not true. Let's just say it's not true. Let's just say it truly is chronological, linear, past, present, future. It still frees you from something and freed you from something.
Right.
You know, no matter how you slice it, you got free.
Right. Yeah, I don't get why. I think the world would be a better place if people would study this or delve into it a lot more, you know?
It's happening a lot more. More and more people are studying it and podcasts about it. Yeah, it's pretty incredible.
You know, what's funny is like as soon as I was starting, I mean, I've always believed in reincarnation and all, you know, this kind of stuff, but really getting into the heavy, heavy lifting with this and really investigating it, all of a sudden I was attracting people in my world that were also doing the same. And it was like nobody wanted to tell each other, you know. It was like you sort of dance around it a little bit, and then you say something. And it's interesting. I met somebody in a Facebook group, I don't know, probably 3 or 4 weeks ago, just a friend that I just commented on a post, and we ended up messaging separately just about different things in the world. And we've now stumbled on the fact that we both are relatively heavy empaths, and our experiences being empaths. And she said, I didn't want to say anything. And something came up in the conversation where it was like, I didn't want to say something first. And it wasn't relevant, but then there was a topic. And now we've been going back and forth, sharing some of our stories with each other. And we both have this sense of like validation that like we're not alone, but how weird to stumble across someone and just be messaging about like, where do you like to go travel? And all of a sudden we're talking about how we, you know, could channel dead people and like things that are just like you wouldn't normally bring up in a conversation. But I think it's you know, it's becoming more and more like once you put it out there, it's like all of a sudden there's all these people that, you know, have either intuitive responses, you know, they have, you know, clairvoyance, or they have, you know, they have the empath, or they can channel, or they have past life things that they know about. And so I really like that we're talking about it, because I think it helps unpack it for people. And if our listeners are out there and they're like, I'm just so curious, keep listening to this stuff, keep exploring this stuff. You know?
Yeah, absolutely right. And trust your gut and trust your instincts, because there's, I don't know, a million podcasts on YouTube about this kind of thing, about past lives and reincarnation. And so when you listen to those, just notice how you feel, notice how your body's responding. And if something doesn't resonate, just close the video. you know, mm-hmm. for whatever reason, and maybe you'll come back to it later, maybe you never will. But it is out there, all over the place now. On there, I was joking when I said a million, but maybe there are a million right. videos. I don't know.
There could be. I mean, it's interesting. I used to date an atheist, and we were just polar opposites in many ways. Oh, am I frozen? I feel like I'm frozen.
Yes, but we can hear you. Yes.
Oh, okay. But I dated an atheist, and she just mocked my reincarnation beliefs like nobody's business. And mm-hmm. I used to say, well, doesn't resonate with you. Like, it doesn't work for you. You that apparently gives you comfort to think that you're going to be just dust forever. And mm-hmm. I said, that doesn't give me comfort. So even if you're right, I feel better knowing what I feel, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think it's really mm-hmm. like the framework for how do you want to move through this world? What is going to make you feel better, you know? And the more that my experience is, the more that I'm learning about this stuff or delving into it, the better I'm feeling and the better understanding I have of pretty much everything.
Sometimes people also take on a particular philosophical or cosmological view, like being an atheist, let's just say, because maybe in a past life they were a monk, a Christian monk, or monk is the right word, but you know, somebody who was a nun or something, you know, and now their soul said, okay, I got that. I understood that. Now I'm going to just see what it's like to have a lifetime where I don't believe in any of that. Because if you look at it from the soul's perspective, the soul is an explorer. It loves to learn. It's just navigating through all these different experiences.
That's really neat. I do have one more question before I know we're going to need to wrap up here soon, but I do have a question about this notion of kind of unfinished business. It seems like now that I've sort of opened myself up more to kind of looking at soul connections and then figuring out like where there's any kind of maybe what we would call unfinished business or purpose for being in each other's lives. And I'm able to reconcile some of that. Is there something more intentional that we can do other than just sort of stumble upon someone where we feel like, oh, we have some work to do? I mean, can I like do some kind of practice that allows me to kind of look for what's still out there that's unfinished with people? I know that sounds kind of like contrived, but I'm wondering if it's more happenstance, like running across Tracy at a pool party, which is where we met, so that we could learn some lessons together. Feels very, I mean, I guess it is divinely planned, but it feels very haphazard in a human body. Is there something in a human body that we can do to say, hey, I'm going to be kind of scoping out what kind of lessons I still have?
Yeah, well, good point. So you can set an intention that you just tell the universe, your higher self, whatever works for you. You know, my intention is that for the highest good of all concerned, I want to meet people easily and effortlessly that I have known in another life. And, you know, but if you set an intention like that, be sure to put some parameters around it, because you may not, you know, if the universe will go, okay, let me introduce you to this person that, you know, murders people or something, you know, you may not want to meet that person, but just, right. you know, you can take, we are sovereign beings, you know, and unfortunately our society kind of dumbs us down and makes us believe in some power outside of ourselves. But, you know, that's one thing you can do. You can also, if you believe in things like guides or angels or your highest self, you can ask them to help assist with that process to bring people to you. I've done that before. Does that help answer the question? Is that, okay.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
You can kind of ask for it, but you also have to be open to it, I think. You know, that's the thing. Yeah. It's like we met in a very random way. And if we weren't open to it, right, then.
Yeah. And to that point, I like your comment because it reminds me of something that has been a philosophy of mine for many, many years. I call it points of destiny. There are some people that it would have taken like everything to have us not meet. Like it was meant to be. And then there's other people that came into my life or have come into my life, and they're representing certain lessons for me. But, you know, if I separate from them, it's not, I'm still going to have other places I can learn the lessons. There's plenty of people I could learn from, but there's some people that I feel, oh, okay, this, and so it sounds like for you too, it was, you know, way that I'm looking at it anyway, it could be considered a point of destiny. It just, right there. And to your point, you did have to be open to it. Because once we come down here, we do have free will, even though we set up these points of destiny appointments and, mm-hmm. you know, contracts with people.
Well, wow, cool. Well, Tracy, you are a point of destiny, I think, for me.
Yeah, well, we've had a wild ride.
We sure have.
But so. I think also it's helped us, like, with our lessons, learning lessons, you know, that we have each other to talk to about everything, you know?
Yeah, very helpful.
Right, we have these parallel lessons where Tracy will be going through something where she's learning about somebody who violates trust, and then within a day or two, I'm experiencing the same thing with somebody, and then we go through it, and then it goes away, and then we don't have this thing. It's not with each other, but we're simultaneously experiencing it, and then maybe it'll be like a month later, like I'm struggling with setting boundaries with someone, and then within 24 hours or 48 hours, Tracy's like having some kind of boundary situation, and we've had this since the day we met, pretty much. Like, we have had these.
And we don't always know that that's happening. It's like once we're talking and talking and talking, I'm like, oh, my God, that's the same thing, but you just came in a different package, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, almost always a different context. It's not it's not obvious. But then when we kind of narrow it down, we're like, we're supposed to be learning these lessons at the same time. So we wonder to what extent maybe our pact was not necessarily one grand lesson, but just that we were going to be in company when we try to process through many of the lessons that we need to learn, or at least that's what it's felt like the last 4 years.
Yeah. It can be very comforting and help accelerate, because if two people are going through it together, you know, it can be really powerful. I have that with my best friend as well, that same phenomena that you guys are just talking about. Mm-hmm. And it's really remarkable. We don't even know sometimes we'll get together, just like you said, and it's like, oh, wow, me too.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, Jenny, this has been an amazing conversation. I know our listeners are going to want to find out more about you, where they can find out about, you know, what you offer and just, you know, learn more. Where can we point them to? Do you have, are you on social media? Do you have a website? I mean, of course, we'll put all this in the show notes, but sometimes it's just nice to hear it.
Yeah, exactly. So my company name is Miracles with Jenny, and that's my website, miracleswithjenny.com. I'm on Etsy, so I've got a whole Etsy shop, also Miracles with Jenny. I'm on Facebook, Miracles with Jenny. So that's the key, is for Facebook and Etsy and my website. Those are the best ways to reach me. And then, no surprise, my email is Miracles with
Miracles Jenny.
I know, miracleswithjenny@gmail.com.
That's great. It's easy, Miracles with Jenny. I'm not going to forget that. Yeah.
Excellent. So what kind of things do you do? Like, do you meet like via Zoom or something with people who want to like get some coaching from you, or do you have classes? What kinds of things do you offer?
I have all kinds of classes. I've got meetings that I do over Zoom, sometimes over the phone, but usually it's over Zoom. And then if they are in the same town as me or location, we can meet in person as well. There's also on Etsy in particular, there's some really great, well-priced, you know, affordable readings that I've got where those are done digitally. So somebody will send me through the Etsy order system a question, and they pick one of the services like, Jenny, I want you to pull the Divine Cosmic Oracle Dancer card for me on my career. So they order that, pay for it, and then I send them back digitally a reading. So those are there too.
That's cool. Well, that's a cool modality that you use for that.
Yeah. Works really well.
Oh, wow. Awesome. Well, is there anything else you want us to make sure that we include or that you share with our listeners before we wrap up today?
Just that whoever you are listening, be even kinder to yourself than you think you should be. Have more compassion, not less, with yourself. Mm-hmm. And just remember that a lot of what we go through in this life is transitory. Transitory in the sense of the soul, which has this bigger picture of all these different lifetimes. Doesn't always make us feel better, but whenever you can find somebody to share something that is really weighing you down and you have a trusted source, I do encourage you to do that.
Awesome. That's great. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for your willingness to be on here today. I cannot wait for our series to be released and our listeners to hear all of your insight. It's been wonderful talking with you. And for all of our listeners out there, until our next episode, go out there and rock those relationships. If you liked what you heard, check out our show notes for resources from today's episode. Make sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram under Rock That Relationship, and go to our website at rockthatrelationship.com for updated episodes and more great information.
Thanks for listening. Now go rock those relationships.